Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, and welcome again to the Explaining History podcast. The other week I did a podcast on the reclaiming by French colonists of Vietnam following the end of the Second World War. And today we're going to look really at how conflict escalates in Vietnam in the late 1940s, early 1950s. And if we recall, one of the reasons why conflict began in 1946, a shooting war begins in 1946, is because of the deliberate decision by French colonists and the almost autonomous regime in South Vietnam to carry out a completely contradictory policy to that of the French government. The French government was attempting to find some degree of compromise at talks with the Viet Minh at Fontainebleau in France, whereas the colonists in Vietnam provided only a directly kind of confrontational, disagreeable, and deliberately sabotaging a narrative designed to push relations with the Vietnamese to breaking point in order to precipitate military action, which they believed they would win, which was obviously a fatal error. The costs of fighting a counterinsurgency war in Vietnam were extremely expensive. In Malaya, the costs to the British were seen as a price infinitely worth paying because of the material value of Malaya, particularly Malaya tin and rubber. Whereas in Vietnam, there was no kind of clear material upside in quite the same way. The Viet Minh had a border with China. They were, after 1949, helped from China, and they had all the resources to continue building up their forces. The conditions for the poorest in the rural parts of communist-held Vietnam were starting to be gradually improved. Because the peasants were given access to communal land, which they hadn't had during the period of French colonial rule because of the power of Catholic landowners. Limits were imposed upon landlords' rents, a policy instituted in 1946, and a policy which would gradually become more radical after 1949, as it was influenced by the attitudes that were prevalent in Maoist China over the border towards the landlords with Mao's anti-landlord campaigns. And there was also a mass literacy drive using Romanized Vietnamese script. And so there was a lot as far as the peasants were concerned in communist-held areas that was attractive about the new regime. And also, it wasn't simply a communist regime, it presented itself as a national liberation movement. And so it was able to appeal not just to the self-interest of Vietnamese peasants, but to their deep-seated national sentiment, which was a powerful factor in swaying attitudes and drawing deep-seated loyalties towards one side and not the other. Martin Thomas writes, "Knowing that French troops planned to reoccupy Hanoi, the Democratic Republic of Vietnam authorities withdrew Viet Minh forces northwards over the summer of 1946, consolidating their grip over the highlands of Tonkin, which is North Vietnam, and the uncontested regions of Annam, which was Central Vietnam. The reality was that France simply never reconquered a good deal of Central and Northern Vietnam. This large region, home to 10 million people by the early 1950s, was what constituted the Democratic Republic of Vietnam's state, its administrative system, regional trade networks, and interior policies regulated from Hanoi. Its insurgent origins and internal coalition rivalries declining in importance, the Hanoi regime was, by 1950, harder to equate with the Viet Minh of old. Determined to deploy all its human and material resources to defeat the French, the lands controlled by the Democratic Republic of Vietnam formed a highly militarised command economy mobilised for combat. France, in other words, was at war with a sovereign Vietnamese state in all but name." So this is fundamental to our understanding of Vietnam. Now, when you compare the British insurgency or British counterinsurgency in Malaya, and the struggle by the French to reconquer Vietnam, you're looking at two different things, really. The Malay Communist Party guerrillas numbered about 6,000. The British were able to mobilise something like about 300,000 Malay, Chinese and Indian volunteers to fight them. The French are fighting something of an entirely different magnitude. They are fighting, as it says here, a sovereign state. They are fighting half of, well, perhaps even two-thirds of Vietnam itself. They are fighting a regime that is not simply a guerrilla army, that has established itself in the economy, the infrastructure, the bureaucracy and society of North and Central Vietnam, Tonkin and Annam. So already the colonial conceit of the French, who had believed it would be a simple task to sweep away revolutionary troublemakers if only the right war could be declared upon them, had turned out to be a terrible miscalculation. Instead, the withdrawal northwards of the Viet Minh had created a revolutionary state designed to liberate all of Vietnam. And this would be the fight that would go on for the next three decades. In the south, fighters, intelligence agents and couriers continued to infiltrate Saigon. They sabotaged military and administrative services. They got hold of valuable information. They found essential supplies that they could steal, from medicines to shoes for the militia. Dock workers and arsenal workers, arms manufacturers, housemaids, drivers, students, coolies, the poor wage labourers and porters, became a huge and important part of the Viet Minh in Saigon, their intelligence network and logistics network. They moved around supplies, they swapped information, and sometimes took up arms. The colonial police in Saigon, their records in 1948, show 9 million units of penicillin and 60,000 malarial prophylactics disappearing from the city's pharmacies. A more important symbol of urban infiltration was the number of killings of French soldiers, officials and settlers. They became very, very frequent. Cafe owners put up wire cages around their premises to prevent the Viet Minh from throwing hand grenades at customers' tables. The Chinese owners of the Le Monde Casino in Saigon found that their business was devastated by a hand grenade attack. And the result was that they paid protection money, taxes, to the Viet Minh to prevent that from happening again. Young women were often recruited, and children who were orphaned during the war or the famine, to carry out these attacks or to carry out other espionage work. And the reason why was because they often knew the city's back streets and alleyways very well, and that they could stay out of the way of the surge in troops that occupied the city. 15,000 troops were drafted in by 1950 to restore calm and to control Saigon. And this was the sort of thing that the Americans would inherit within the coming decade. The disorder that Saigon experienced caused the French, under their commander-in-chief Jean Valoy, to divide their forces, to try to consolidate their hold on Cochin China, which is the southern part of Vietnam, to divide the forces between holding on to Cochin China and then trying to send expeditionary forces into the central and north parts of the country. Valoy attempted to keep the door open to the Hanoi regime for some kind of negotiated settlement, but the French colonists put nothing remotely attractive that the Vietnamese would want, the North Vietnamese would want, on the table anyway. It was simply a means by which the North Vietnamese could decide to surrender if for some reason they chose to, which of course they did not. This was not so much Valoy's fault as the fault of reactionaries in Paris and Saigon, demanding that the Hanoi regime should simply give up and just hand over control of North and Central Vietnam to them, as they believed without doubt that they were the undisputed sovereign power in Vietnam. It was France's decision to create a southern Vietnamese state, an associated state that was built around the idea of an anti-communist government in Saigon, that meant that all diplomatic initiatives would ultimately fail. The decision to create this southern centre of Vietnamese.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
National power around the Emperor Bao Dai meant that the French would redouble their own personal commitment to get rid of the Republic in the North, and now that the nature of the regime was avowedly anti-communist. The regime itself would operate as a front, a proxy for French imperialism. It would no longer feature direct French colonial rule. That was perhaps going to be untenable in the future, but would be one a regime that would be so intimately connected with Paris, and there would be powerful scope for French colonial intervention in the life of the Republic of South Vietnam, that French colonial rule would essentially continue unhindered. Now, what's the reason for this change in direction? And the reason is America. In March 1949, the State Department in Washington confirmed its support for the Bao Dai solution, creating a state centred around Emperor Bao Dai. The reason why they did this was manyfold. Firstly, Roosevelt and Truman had both expressed misgivings about European colonialism in general, but particularly French colonialism. They saw kind of advantages in British colonialism that they were willing to overlook, but specifically, Roosevelt had never taken to de Gaulle and always suspected that de Gaulle might wind up taking upon the role of dictator during the war. And after the war, the French Empire was certainly one that the Americans were more than happy to see rolled up. The French had to present a colonial proposition to the Americans that the Americans, not just the American government, but the American general public, would be happy to accommodate. And instead of a direct colonial state, a Vietnamese notionally autonomous republic that had anti-communist credentials would be far more likely to attract American diplomatic backing, and when it came to it, American financial and American military support, because we had entered the era following 1947 of the Truman Doctrine. If you go back a couple of podcasts and listen to the decision by Truman in 1947 to send military funding to aid and military support to Greece and Turkey as a result of Britain's withdrawal from the Eastern Mediterranean due to its parlous finances. One feature in there, in that podcast, I think might stand out, the fact that American voters and congressmen were acutely aware that this would just be the first of many asks, that there would be a long stream of troubled countries around the world desperate to stem off the threat of communist insurgency who might present themselves to America for financial help. The French were here trying to dress up the colonial project that they were trying to maintain in a more attractive way in order to sweeten the pill for the United States of America to swallow. The new South Vietnam would become an associated nation of the French Union. But Bao Dai himself, who had been ejected from Vietnam as the emperor, was to come back as a figure of national unity. But the French were careful to control Bao Dai. They didn't want him becoming a nationalist demagogue in his own right. Not that that was particularly likely, but they didn't want him to become the focal point of nationalist sentiments. And so they made sure that he didn't build up his own personal national movement in Vietnam. Martin Thomas writes, France insisted that Bao Dai was the authentic representative of the Vietnamese nation, yet withheld national independence, the only concession likely to secure popular endorsement. By 1950, the Saigon regime relied on more sectarian elements. The commercial classes, fervent anti-communists, and Catholic and sect leaders hostile to Marxist atheism. So this was the shaping of the new South Vietnam. The new South Vietnam wasn't going to be offered full national independence as a sovereign nation state. It would be a puppet state of France. But the only thing that was likely to create mass support for Bao Dai was precisely that, was the creation of a sovereign nation state, tapping into all those powerful nationalistic sentiments that could be unleashed against the communist North. So instead, this mixture, rather toxic mixture of the commercial classes, the kind of the Mittelstand of Vietnam, and the anti-communist and Catholic demographics within South Vietnam, who were determined to fight against the communists to the death. These are a far narrower sect. These are far narrower section of Vietnamese society. And here are the fundamental problems that the French face. By creating a very narrow coalition against the North instead of a broad-based one, by creating that broad-based coalition, the French knew that they would allow events to slip out of their hands, that that events would drift towards full independence, thus negate everything that they were hoping to achieve, which tends to suggest that full independence was an inevitability anyway. But by negating that and using this very narrow support base, who were kind of radicalised anti-communist ultras, it sets up much of the conflict for the coming years, the dynamics of the conflict for the coming years, because this is one of the reasons why the general population, who were Buddhist and not Catholic, who had perhaps not kind of doctrine Marxist views, but who had a broadly kind of communal views on land ownership and social equality within society, were finding themselves with nowhere else to go other than to the communists, who were offering a far more attractive set of propositions, by and large, than the land-owning Catholic ruling classes of South Vietnam. Martin Thomas writes, "These domestic realignments were vitally important, but they were overshadowed by a more dramatic change on the external plane. The creation of the People's Republic of China on the 1st of October 1949. Ho moved quickly to conclude a military alliance with Mao's Chinese regime after dispatching his envoy Huang Van Huan to prepare the ground for an approach. Spurred by China's recognition of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam in mid-January 1950, Ho resolved to conduct the negotiations personally. Leaving in secret, he walked for 17 days from North Tonkin to conduct talks with Mao's deputy Liu Shaoqi and Zhu Di, the senior commander of the Chinese People's Liberation Army. From there, he travelled by more modern means to Moscow for discussions with Stalin and, more importantly, another Chinese duo, Foreign Minister Zhou Enlai and Mao himself, both of whom were visiting the Russian capital at the time. Stalin was non-committal, but Mao, consistent with the Chinese Communist policy of leaning to one side by promoting revolution throughout East Asia, promised every military assistance needed by Vietnam in its struggle against France. The war in Indochina was about to get much bigger, confronting France with decolonization's first total war." So in many ways, the struggle that the British face in Malaya and the struggle that the French face in Vietnam, it's kind of difficult to compare, really, because of the scope of both. In Malaya, the British did not have to deal with the direct support of Mao's China or Soviet Russia. No doubt both powers had some mischief-making to do in Malaya, but it really wasn't anything of similar proportions. The decolonization period of the 40s, 50s and 60s was now going to become a front line in the Cold War. And this is what's so interesting about this period of time, is where decolonization intersects with Cold War politics. And this is why so many anti-colonial struggles become so bloody, where you have Britain, France and other colonial powers sometimes wanting to leave their colonial troubles behind, but recognising that nature abhors a vacuum and that Soviet and Chinese influence will fill the gap and dominate resources and cut off trade routes and stop the flows of vital raw materials such as oil or rubber. And it also means that there is a greater incentive for America to become involved. The interest that Mao particularly takes in Vietnam is a clue to the Americans that Vietnam, as John F. Kennedy put it later on, Vietnam was the place. That Vietnam would be the place where the line would eventually be drawn and battle lines would have to be, a stand would have to be taken. Which is basically how Kennedy viewed Vietnam, saying that really kind of it became the struggle of all or nothing for the outcome of the Cold War. Okay, so we're going to finish there. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you found that useful, and I'll catch you on the next Explaining History podcast. Thanks very much. All the best. Bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.